One Nation in celebration. April 2021-22. The 2012 Formula One Gulf Air Bahrain Grand Prix.
That's a promotional video for the upcoming Grand Prix Formula One race scheduled for next week in Bahrain. But Bahrain is a divided nation, and at least one former driver, Damon Hill, says it would be a bad idea for the sport to be seen as supporting martial law in order to hold a race. Bahrain is still in the throes of its failed Arab Spring uprising. Yesterday, at least 7 Bahraini police were injured by an explosion. On Friday, police fired tear gas and stun grenades at thousands of protesters who were marching in support of Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja. He's the co-founder of the Bahrain Center for Human Rights, jailed after last year's Arab Spring protests and now more than 60 days into a hunger strike that's become a rallying point for the Shiite-led uprising against the Sunni monarchy in Bahrain. Mary Lawler is the director of Frontline Defenders. They're an Irish group that helps protect human rights activists. They're actively campaigning for Khawaja's release. And Mary, you were recently in Bahrain. What's the latest on Abdul Hadi's condition?
I've spoken to medical consultants. He's lost over 25% of his body weight, and apparently once this happens, there is a risk of organ failure at any time.
Well, we get different reports. The Bahraini officials say they're taking care of him, as you said, in the hospital. The family saying that he's far worse off than they're letting on. What's his importance to the people of Bahrain, and which people is he a symbol for?
Well, Abdul Hadi worked with us for 3 years as protection coordinator for the Middle East. So we got to know him very well. And if you got to know Abdul Hadi, you would see what a strong, charismatic character he is. And he resigned to go back to Bahrain in order to become part of the movement for democracy and human rights. At the time, you know, there was Egypt and Tunisia, and the Bahrainis wanted an end to discrimination against the Shiites there. So Abdul Hadi became a rallying point and a leader among that community. Sadly, he was arrested and brutally tortured, as documented in the Independent Commission report, which was ordered by King Hamad, and the findings have been accepted by King Hamad as well. He then had an unfair trial before a military court and was given a life sentence, which was upheld on appeal last September.
So let's get some context here. We mentioned that Bahrain's uprising was a Shia majority rising up against a Sunni ruling minority. The U.S. eventually supported the uprising in Egypt, in Libya, but not in Bahrain. The BBC concludes that President Obama might have given Bahrainis the impression he was going to back them when he abandoned Mubarak in Egypt. But the U.S. has stayed away from the conflict in Bahrain. Saudi Arabia, which is also led by a Sunni monarchy, sent 1,000 troops into Bahrain to help quell the uprising there. Just remind us of some of the geopolitical considerations in this region.
Bahrain is a strategic partner for the U.S. because the U.S.'s naval fleet is based there. So obviously, it's a very important country for the U.S. Similarly for Saudi Arabia, they look at Bahrain in horror, wondering whether or not that kind of drive for constitutional reform could spread to Saudi Arabia. So they also are interested in maintaining the ruling family there. So it's a difficult position for the Bahrainis to be in. But the problem is, like, the majority have been discriminated against for a very long time. And I suppose, like everything, you know, if you've been discriminated against for long enough and you see what's happening in the region, you know, I think they felt, too, that they could make some progress.
Well, there's another concern. As we mentioned, this is a Sunni ruling monarchy ruling over a Shia majority. Right across the Persian Gulf is Iran, and the Bahraini government, the Saudi authorities, and even U.S. officials have said that they worry that Tehran is helping orchestrate this unrest. Tehran, of course, also a Shia country. So the concern is that Tehran is orchestrating the Shia unrest across the waters in Bahrain. And some U.S. officials have said, you know, on and off the record, that toppling the Sunni monarchy in Bahrain would be a victory for Iran.
from everything I can see, like, for example, with Abdulhadi Al-Khawaja, whom we know to be a human rights defender and whose background has shown that, and he's internationally renowned. So, you know, when the Bahraini government say, as they have in one of them, the prime minister, who is the hardliner, that he's an Iranian spy, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, nobody believes it. So there is acceptance that there is a need for reform in Bahrain, to give more of a constitutional sort of reform, not necessarily the toppling of the monarchy, but a reform where people have more of a say.
Well, meanwhile, Abdulhadi Al-Khawaja is on day 62 of a hunger strike. We have this Formula One Grand Prix race scheduled in Bahrain for next week. What do you think happens if, I mean, you know, he passes?
Well, this is the awful thing. I mean, he at the moment, nobody has seen him for 2 days, neither his family nor his lawyer. But if he were to die in the run-up to Formula One, there would be huge unrest, I think, in Bahrain. Having been there last week, I could see already the way that the situation is developing. I saw a protest, you know, in favour of releasing Abdulhadi. There were huge amount of police compared to the number of protesters. A lot of the protesters couldn't actually get outside the Ministry of the Interior where the protest was being held, because that's where Abdulhadi was at that time. The situation is not safe for Bahrainis. So Formula One really needs to consult with the people on the ground, the independent journalists, the human rights defenders and the community leaders, and come to a conclusion. But meanwhile, our view is that they should use the fact that for the Bahraini authorities really want Formula One to go ahead to make a plea that Abdulhadi would be released on humanitarian grounds to go for medical treatment to Denmark, that King Ahmad would exercise mercy. And that would at least stabilise a bit of the situation.
Mary Lawler, Director of Frontline Defenders, the Irish group that helps protect human rights activists. Speaking of Abdulhadi Al-Khawaja, the Bahraini human rights activist who's in day 62 of a hunger strike ahead of next week's scheduled Grand Prix Formula One race in Bahrain. Mary, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.